So when we forget who we truly are, the mind with its survival nature, that's what it's built for. It's basically a nervous system. It's a subconscious program that runs to keep you safe. It learns and repeats how to keep you safe over and over again. It's completely addicted, the mind. And eventually nothing new comes from it unless you go from the back, which is survival, to the front of your mind, the CEO or the creative center of your mind. When you get down here in the doldrums, in the dungeons of the mind, which is your survival response, things start to happen to push you back up. And it's love or suffering that are gonna get you to the front. It's love or suffering that are gonna spiral dynamics. They're gonna get you up and spiral you up towards growth, creativity, and contribution, where you move from a victim to a creator again. You move from an anxious person to someone who's completely loving, empathic, warm, patient, and kind. That's your true nature. What we need to understand is that all anxiety is separation anxiety. It is separation from the true self. That's what anxiety is, and it's come as a friend, as a messenger. And to really overcome anxiety, we've got to get beyond the masks of the personality and really get inside and reconnect with who we truly are. So we'll discuss going through the ways of overcoming anxiety, of actually healing and transforming it, not coping with anxiety. That's yesterday's news. Today, there is a spiritual solution. So of course, when you talk anxiety, you talk cognitive therapy, you talk changing your thoughts, and all the exercises really revolve around changing the way you think, which is certainly part of the process, but it runs much deeper than that. So thinking is, over time, a story, and it's a story that we've created with the analytical, calculating, survival mind. Every time there's been a trauma or an experience or something to learn from, the brain stores that experience to make sure we get hurt less and less as time goes on. Now, of course, running the story eventually catches up with us one day, and all those experiences pile up, and everything we've tried to avoid, every time we've taken a shortcut, we've tried to sweep something under the carpet, we've tried to deny or blame or project something onto another person, that stays, that's residue. That's psychic residue that we need to get rid of. So eventually, anxiety comes and separates us from ourself. The self, the person that we think we are. And in a way, that is terrific news, because in the first half of life, we need to accumulate a story, experience, life experience. We need to develop a deep understanding of ourselves, others, and the world and the universe. And how we do that is, we're thrown in to this world kicking and screaming. And of course, from a very young age, to bear the brunt of life, we need to put on certain masks that protect us from harm. Codependence is one. Of course, we're all codependent. We're codependent on our parents when we're young. These can turn into addictions or cross addictions as you get older, if you don't remove those masks. And all masks are similar. We put on masks for control. We might put on a victim mask. We might put on a mask of judging, being a harsh critic of ourselves and other people. And so these masks help us to cope. Being strong and firm and a harsh critic can actually help us get through psychologically and emotionally for a time. But as we said, it starts with thinking, but thinking turns into feeling, and feelings are the shorthand of the brain experienced in the body. So anxiety is very much experienced in the head for a while until we can't contain it anymore and it gushes down into the body. And that's where we feel it, the heart palpitations, butterflies in the stomach. That's where we feel anxiety. And it really becomes a construct of a thought in our body. So our body becomes our biology. Our body becomes our feeling mind. And when we're overwhelmed, our body jumps into overwhelm and sets off an alarm. And that alarm, which is very important, goes off in the body, not in the head. With anxiety, first we overthink. And when we overthink anything, it becomes negative. So just remember that. And when we overthink, it also becomes obsessive. Anytime we start thinking faster, we're trying to problem solve. We duck down into survival. We fight, flight, and free. And we think faster. We really, really try and overanalyze, overcalculate. And in so doing, the brain runs faster. And when that rev counter goes up, if we don't plug it up there in our mind, those thoughts become feelings and they drop into the body. And when it drops into the body, it becomes a compulsion. It becomes what we do with our body. So we might avoid, we might curl up into a ball and panic. It's different for everybody. We might clutch at our stomachs. We might stay indoors with a migraine for several days. All depends. And these compulsive acts of the body are here as alarms, and they're here to tell us something. For other people, it gets experienced as a panic attack. Very, very common. Rarely do we see people come into the center who haven't or are not experiencing currently panic attacks, where the body just simply takes over and puts the alarm on, and the body goes into fight, flight, or free. It runs, it hides, it gets angry, it does something compulsive that doesn't work, that gets in the way of who we really want to be, what we really want to do. So it's something we need to take care of. So that sympathetic nervous system is fight, flight, or freeze, which we're all getting to know now. The amygdala in the brain never forgets anything. So I'm constantly saying to people, who are you without your story? You know, drop the story. And with that, you'll drop your mask or your need for control, which is very much linked to the origins of anxiety becoming a subconscious response to our environment. So essentially we get uncomfortable thoughts, we drop into the body where we get a panic attack. Uncomfortable feelings are masked. The mind thinks that they're too painful to bear, but of course the truth is never too painful to bear, especially when we're ready. And people often ask, why did this anxiety and stress come on so long after I've had trauma or rough times or whatever it's going to be? It's because you're ready. It's because you're ready to consciously experience the truth that is going to set you free. Certainly free from fear and anxiety. So understanding that anxiety causes a separation from the self is very, very important, because it's a lack of love that we have for ourselves. Love is a very, very big subject that's often overlooked. You know, it's self-care, nurturing, it's calm, it's being patient, highly forgiving, it's enduring and it's courageous. In other words, it stays in EQ. So love that's cut off from ourselves or separate from ourselves, we can call separation anxiety. So where that comes from is very, very important when it comes to anxiety. We don't want to cope with anxiety. We don't want to treat it. I'm tired of people telling me they've had anxiety for 20 years and it's never got any better. It's just got worse. Anxiety is highly, highly treatable, and we can heal it and then transform it, and in so doing, stay on purpose and of course change our lives for the better. When we heal anxiety, we can grow, we can contribute, and really that's what we're here for. So anything that hinders that, including all things based in fear, need to go. Our job is to return to love and to realize that's what we need to do. So this separation from self, this not good enough idea that comes into the mind that is hidden underneath your personality. And of course, your personality does become your personal reality sooner or later. And then we need to get rid of that personal reality, because it's not really reality. It's a persona. It's a masked reality, one that you could bear until you were ready to face the truth of who you really are, who your parents really were, how the world really works, and what you're going to go through, and how things are going to unfold. So it comes as a messenger to strike us into fear, but also to bring us a round circle into reality once again. Parents that didn't give us that love, teachers who criticized us, friends who bullied us, people that didn't fulfill our needs, and these are needs for love and connection, massive, massive needs, our need to bear uncertainty, our need to contribute and feel like our purpose, our lives have purpose and meaning. If those needs weren't fulfilled, we're gonna develop a mask, and anxiety is one of those masks. Two basic emotions can sum up all emotions. One is fear, one is love. Perfect love casts out fear, and we don't even understand when we're anxious, when we're building up towards a personality that's disordered or functioning in a disorderly way. We don't understand that it took years. It took attitudes, thoughts, perceptions, tons and tons of feelings, circumstances, conversations, events, you name it, to build up to that point. So understand that there's no crisis. It didn't just happen. Rather, it's an accumulation of events, situations, circumstances that you have now taken in on the inside and that have caused a separation from who you really are, which is a wise, courageous, confident human being that is entirely capable of self-regulation, connection, and contribution in this world. At the very core, we're all like that. And there's no need to go any deeper in it. Without the fear, we're very, very loving. You know, if there's a burning building and there's a little baby crying inside and someone walks past, the chances are, scientifically speaking, that you will jump in and give your life for that stranger. It happened in 9/11 thousands of times. It's called the burning building effect. You'll jump into water and try and save someone who's drowning, a complete stranger. When you drop the personality, drop the masks, drop the need for survival, you'll go in and act from your core values. And when you do that, you're now accessing the true self, the self that has been separated and is experiencing depression, anxiety, whatever it's going to be, as a call to return home to your sacred self. So one of the biggest lessons we can learn now is never forget who you truly are, and go and practice that. Go and read and study and find out who you truly are without the masks, without the personality, without the monkey or survival mind that keeps you running from pillar to post, trying to survive, trying to make the best of each day. At some point in life, I call it the second half of life, at some point in life, you've got to get to a finish line of the first half. And it's almost this dying to yourself while you're still alive that needs to happen. And people who are depressed and anxious, suicidal even, need to know that this too shall pass, that there is a second half, that there is a corner to turn. There is a disorder box in life, but people need to understand there's a reorder box as well. So when we forget who we truly are, the mind with its survival nature, that's what it's built for. It's basically a nervous system. It's a subconscious program that runs to keep you safe. It learns and repeats how to keep you safe over and over again. It's completely addicted, the mind. And eventually nothing new comes from it unless you go from the back, which is survival, to the front of your mind, the CEO or the creative center of your mind. When you get down here in the doldrums, in the dungeons of the mind, which is your survival response, things start to happen to push you back up. And it's love or suffering that are going to get you to the front. It's love or suffering that are going to spiral dynamics. They're going to get you up and spiral you up towards growth, creativity, and contribution, where you move from a victim to a creator again. You move from an anxious person to someone who's completely loving, empathic, warm, patient, and kind. That's your true nature. The more masks of personality we put on, there's 10 of them that we speak about in the paradigm process, the less you can breathe. And that's the nature of anxiety. You know, breath really means spirit in Hebrew. And that breath needs to be regulated. And when that's regulated, the body, the heart rate variability, the mind, the alpha, the delta waves, the theta waves, all these waves are regulated. We move from particle to wave. We move from incongruence to congruence, from fear to love, and from anxiety to peace. Okay, peace beyond what the mind can understand. The mind thinks peace is keeping you away from fear, but in turn, fear is attracted. The first step now is awareness. What we want to do is understand that when we're overthinking and we drop into the body and there's panic of some kind, or when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel full of fear or panic, we're going to drop down into the body and we're going to go into one of the energy centers, you know, chakra centers. There's 7 of them at least. There's 114 really, but we'll stick with 7. And you'll go down into your stomach, or some people their ankles, some people their heart, and you'll feel the palpitations, you'll feel pain, you'll feel like you're dying, being choked out. Some people experience it all over their body. So it just depends. And when that happens, I want you to start looking for a safe place in your body, either a safe or a neutral place in your body. And what we're going to do is we're going to become multi-sensory. We're going to now become aware of all our senses. We fight, flight, and freeze just really narrows us down. What we want to do is become aware of, you know, things that we see, things that we smell, taste, feel, things that we can touch. And then we become, through that process of putting everything together, which is really meditation, it's meshing things together, it's union of yoga. And when we do that, when we put things together, we're using our whole self to combat fear. And when our whole self appears, we really can't lose. We're more powerful than powerless, that's for sure. So we find a safe space in the body and we shift energy there. And you can do that by becoming extrasensory. Now, I call extrasensory anything that happens that is not 5-sensory. So it's anything that is in you that you're capable of doing. For example, you can't see a variable like intention. Imagination, which Wayne Dyer said is one of our most powerful, powerful gifts. Do you use it? And when? And do you use it to fight fear, overcome anxiety, or not? If it's one of our most important talents, faculties, and energies, we need to use it. We need to bring it to the fore. So we've got to become aware that we're pretty extrasensory as well. In other words, we have senses and means and gifts that we cannot see, that are not constructs like a personality mask. You have the power of intuition, imagination, and intention, just for starters. So if a negative thought can create panic in the body without your permission, really, can a positive thought and a positive feeling and a positive shift create something good and beautiful in your body? Of course it can. So this is where we get to actually walk down a different street and start turning things around. Knowing that I can shift energy around my body makes me more powerful than powerless, which is obviously the ultimate feeling that you're left with after panic and anxiety have run rampant through your life. So we shift energy into a safe or neutral space. Doesn't matter if it's your legs, or your heart, or somewhere in your stomach. It can be your throat chakra for some people. It just depends where that neutral space is. So if you get really quiet and just explore, you'll be able to find those safe or neutral spaces. And when you're in panic mode, you need to practice. Now, practice is the second big issue that we need to deal with here. Rehearsal, which is imagination, and practice are two things that you need to keep doing over and over again if anxiety and fear-based disorders were caused over many years, many instances, many moments. then we're going to have to do the same thing. Use many positive instances, moments, and days, weeks, months, and years, because this should become a life practice. We should use these things over time to practice and rehearse. You don't just pick up a guitar and play Stairway to Heaven. It's going to take a lot of practice. You're going to need to do your scales when practicing the piano, whatever it's going to be. Nothing comes without effort and practice and rehearsal. So these are gifts that you need to give yourself today as you overcome anything that's kept you in the disorder box for longer than you should have been. When you change your inner world, your outer world is going to change. Everyone seems to want to do it from the other side. They want to work on thoughts and they want to work on their environment. Medicines can help, many things can help, but they're all external, and you have a power within you that is far, far more potent than anything external. So when we look inside, you're having a spiritual experience. Spirituality is simply looking inside yourself, into those dark places that were wounded and shamed when you were young, and locked away in boxes until you were ready to experience them. So looking inside is where we change our external environment. And this is the switch that makes a ton of difference to people on their journey towards finding their sacred selves. That inner self or inner child or shadow self is wanting love, attention. It's wanting real safety, real certainty in an uncertain world. And you can show up and give that to that part of yourself that is riddled in fear, that is masked in persona, and needs to be set free. So feelings become the thoughts in the body. Feelings are the language of the body. And very, very seldom do we start working on feelings. We try and avoid feelings. We think they're going to bring up panic. The mind certainly does. So practicing self-love, if you were never taught this, if you were never given this as a tool, as a child, you probably wouldn't know how to do it now. A lot of people were actually shamed for it as well. So self-love is a very, very overlooked, powerful aspect of ourselves that we need to bring to the fore. Any transformation, any spiritual experience, in my experience, begins with love. Self-love at the core. Perfect love of the self is going to cast out fear. And when we let go of fear, we start letting go, you guessed it, of our need to control. Totally tied up with anxiety. The very first step of the paradigm process is letting go of the need to control while recovering a sense of self-love. That's the very first step to all the change we've used at our center in the last 15 years. And it's changed people and healed people all over the world, thousands of them, with different problems, different social constructs, different backgrounds, different mentalities and ways of thinking, and certainly different upbringings. So if it works for them, it'll work for you. And how we practice self-love is going within, calming that inner child, finding safe spaces, nurturing and loving the self. You know, not sleeping is self-harm, not breathing properly, not feeding yourself properly, or drinking enough water is self-harm. So look at yourself and see if you do these things. And if you do them, or if you have been doing them, stop. That's the nature of change. Stop doing what doesn't work for you. It's the nature of addiction too. Doing what doesn't work for you over and over again. You've got to leave that all behind and go out into the uncertain, the mystical, and the unknown self, rather than the known, the familiar, and the anxious. The cure that you're looking for is union. It's connection to yourself. It is then that connection and that love that is going to make you connect to other people. It is going to make you open up to God, spirituality, universality. And it's going to open you up to the mystical, the uncertain, and the unknown. Now, what is there to fear? When you're not worried about the mystical, the uncertain, and the unknown, what happens next is none of your business. Don't forget to start to treat anxiety as a friend. A friend for sure, which we no longer need, but we're going to treat it because we want to treat the personality. We want to get through the personality's hard outer shell into the light inside. Okay, so the light inside, the mind thinks is covered in darkness and shame and imperfection, but it's a very, very thin layer. That light inside you is immensely powerful. It brings healing and transformation in short periods of times, and it brings you from victim to creator so that you can do whatever you want with this life. It's so, so valuable. There's no more time to waste. Your head is survival on IQ. Your body is feeling an EQ. And then we get to CQ, which is your contemplative mind, your contemplative self, who can sit and contemplate past, present, and future with calm and ease and peace that surpasses understanding. It really is one of our extrasensory gifts. Our desire, our ability to contemplate life and reality exactly as it is, without the need for personas and masks, is what contemplation is all about. And it's a practice and a rehearsal that you can perfect over time. When we cure anxiety, we let go of our need to control. We're able to then recover a sense of self-love, remembering who we are, what life's about, who other people are. We remember their struggles. We remember what others are going through and develop courage, which means heart, through keeping an open heart. Do not harden your heart. Do not be conformed to your mind, but be renewed by the transformation. We are not conformed to our minds, but we're renewed by the transformation of our minds, of ourselves. And this is what we're going for here. Not coping, real healing and life transformation. Okay, the neuroscience of who you are is your IQ. That's in your head. It's about knowledge and information. Your biology is all about feelings, and that's where we're going to make change happen, rather not just in our thinking, but in our neurobiology. So our EQ is in the body. Feelings remain long after memories and events and things have happened. Feelings are the body's way of chemically experiencing something years and years later. So when those chemicals go astray or awry, we need to fix them and we need to regulate them once more. And then remember that CQ, you know, is putting everything together to be able to contemplate who you really are, who God is, who other people are, without the need for denial, for blaming, for projection, or for masks. So neuro is to know. And it's not enough to know. You know, biology is how we do things, how we action our lives. And CQ, your contemplative intelligence, is the why. When anxiety reigns supreme, the unconscious becomes the language of how we feel in the body. Whenever we become mindless, we become conditioned to what happened in the past. Whenever we're fixated on whatever's happened in the past or whatever's going to happen in the future, there's chemical residue that's going to affect us. So being aware and getting out of those states as soon as we can is really, really important. Anxiety is based in the monkey mind, the lizard brain, the unconscious. So what do? We become more mindful and we go and work out of our prefrontal cortex. Here, problems are solved. We create instead of become victims. We grow. We contribute when we remain at the forefront of our heads. And really, that's what they meant in the old days by the third eye. It was that seeing, those of you who have eyes who can see reality exactly as it is, are people who've arrived in the second half of life. Thinking on purpose with meaning and focus means that you're going to create a completely different life to the one you've experienced so far. But just remember that change is uncomfortable, unfamiliar, and uncertain. And it's counterintuitive, right? If you've got anxiety, depression, or some kind of disorder. But that's what we need to get into, the unknown. We need to use our extrasensory perceptions of imagination used in meditation, of mindfulness, of being able to picture and hold that picture. If you can hold it in your head, you can hold it in your hand. And use these extrasensory gifts that we've been given to imagine create and design a new future. And if we are creating a new future, automatically we bring certainty there. And the uncertainty, which is anxiety, that the mind and body experience starts to dissipate with the new level of certainty that you're creating about what you're going to do with yourself, your future, this life. So just remember that metacognition is being able to look at yourself and recognize that there's two of you. Recognize that there's a thought going through your head and there's someone, there's something inside you, we call your sacred self, that is actually listening to the thought. It's observing and witnessing the experience of the thoughts and the feelings in the mind and body. So metacognition is almost like a mirror when you wake up to it. Being able to go above who you thought. Meta, going above, cognition, thinking, going above who you thought you really were. That is spiritual experience in a nutshell. We start to think and feel in new ways, and those emotions that we unleash with courage when we open our hearts give us higher levels of energy. And that energy, because everything is energy ultimately, that energy allows us to change, to make positive change, to turn negatives from the past created out of survival into positives for our future. Using your extrasensory power of intention, real solid intention, is where two roads diverge in a wood. It's where massive decisions are made. Intention brings meaning. What are you gonna do with this? And where focus goes, energy is going to flow. Where you set your intentions, you'll end up going in that direction, which can be a completely different direction than you were on when you were suffering a fear-based reality. Your million-year-old anxious brain today is a product of society, of biology, of hormones, epigenetics, and all sorts of things that have led you down the garden path towards fear. Creating someone who has to survive in a harsh, cruel, and uncertain world. Overcoming anxiety. Living from a place of purpose and meaning, of contribution and growth, is completely different. It's where we don't fear what we don't know. Everything is happening for us, not just to us. And this is the language that's going to heal anxiety deep within. Vision, imagination, the power of intention are really the extrasensory things that we're going to introduce to the mind, heart, and body that are going to change everything. Of course, everything needs to change, or they wouldn't call it the second half of life. So it is in dying to self that we're born to eternal life that is going to say, in other words, we're going to leave the masks, the nonsense, the fear behind, and we're going to return to love, to authenticity, to knowing thyself, and to creating the best future we can for ourselves and others.